Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio out. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to and or need to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know by now the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Sundays, but there is various content added throughout the week. So continue to swing over there and check that out. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, yeah, come on, you know it by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, with three E's.
Oh, so we had some fun stuff here locally a little bit. As a former Cub closer, now back with his team, the Yankees, Aroldis Chapman, came out today and said he felt that Joe Maddon misused him in the playoffs. And what took Chapman so long? You're not saying this like game one, haven't we?
Because now he's under contract with the Yankees.
Yeah, I guess since you're signed, you know, you can kind of say that. Now, to be fair, Chapman never said anything to Maddon about this, even though everybody was harping on it, that, you know, it was definitely something going on there. He admitted to being tired, you know, in game seven. So, you know, it just kind of odd. Now, I've heard some former players today, Dan, really dog Chapman about doing this. And I find it weird because he's not wrong. So why are they killing him?
Because they're still drinking the Kool-Aid, and, you know, it could be that whole, you know, locker room thing.
Yeah.
We're in a different sport. We were in a different, you know, sport altogether. But, I mean, you know how it is when you're all part of that locker room and the one guy breaks out, or, you know, however you want to refer to it, and actually speaks out and then upsets everybody. I mean, you know, I've done it. I don't know if you've done it, but.
No, I'm a good guy. I don't do things like that. So. But, yeah, I was just kind of baffled, you know, when I heard it. Like, the guy I heard really get on him, you know, obviously I'm still watching Intentional Talk. And Kevin Millar really dogged him. And I was just like, I don't get it. You know, it was just so weird. It's like, you know, again, you and I have been talking about this since, you know, almost the playoffs started, how Maddon didn't trust anybody in the bullpen except Chapman. And, he, you know, he literally just, you know, he ran him out there in game situations when he didn't need him just because he was afraid. Yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, well, I'm surprised, you know, he just didn't have the starter go three or four innings and then bring Chapman in for the final, you know, five or six. I mean, it literally was that bad. You know, to be fair, it almost did cost the Cubs a World Series. You know, luckily the team was talented enough to get around that. You know, and I know he gets all the glory and all this that, you know, goes with winning it, but boy, man, he came really close to giving it away. And, you know, this was part of the reason. And, you know, I mean, it seems like we want players to stand up for themselves when we feel it's acceptable. And I don't understand why this isn't acceptable. I mean, this is something that could have potentially been damaging to Chapman's long-term career. You know, being overused like that, as hard as he throws, that's a lot of extra wear and tear on the arm. Luckily, he doesn't seem to have any other issues except the fact that he's tired, which is, you know, obviously, nothing big. He'll recover. He's got all offseason to recover. But yeah, I think I was just more shocked at how some of the former players reacted to it than anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Millar, he's part of the good old boy club. And it's one of
yeah.
those where you get in and you're it's almost like 1980s or, you know, pre-McMahon at court wrestling. You know, you're not supposed to talk about it. If you're a wild Samoan, you live it. You don't speak about it ever. You know,
yeah.
You're not allowed to do it unless you get the candid Playboy interview, you know, the 20 questions.
Do they still do that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So. I don't know. I don't, you know, I mean, magazines
but,
are rough these days. I don't.
Yeah, well, I know they stopped doing the centerfold, so, you know, that kind of ended my interest in Playboy, but that's another story for another show. anyways, or actually probably another podcast, but hey, you know, whatever works for you. You know, Major League Baseball sent out some bills today, Dan. They informed 6 teams that they will need to pay the luxury tax. The Dodgers lead the way, no surprise there, Dan, $31.8 million. The Yankees are second at $27.4 million. Boston is third at 4.5. Detroit is next at 4 million. The San Francisco Giants at 3.4 million. And the Cubs at 2.96 million were all sent bills Friday by the commissioner's office.
And where does this money go?
I don't know. I don't know what they do with it. You know, I don't know if it's put back in the game or how they're doing it, but there's some interesting stuff here, Dan. This is the 14th straight year the Yankees have had to pay the tax. No, the Yankees, ever since it began, paid a total of $325 million into it. The Dodgers are on their fourth consecutive year. And it looks like their four-year total is $113 million. The Giants and the Red Sox are on their second straight year. And it's the first year for the Tigers and the Cubs. So I'm looking to see if it says in the article where where or if or when this money goes. So it does say that it's due by January.
I find it funny that Major League Baseball is worried about the Dodgers' debt situation, will they fine them $31 million?
Well, it's not a fine. It's what you get for going over the luxury tax. So
yeah, but I mean, don't come out and tell me you're worried about something and then push the. I know it's all a part of the agreements or however that works, but don't voice concern over something and then charge them $31 million.
I had to Bing it here because I doesn't know. It didn't tell me where the luxury tax went. So, and I'll have to look up another article there because this one isn't giving me the information I want either. So yeah, I don't quite know where the luxury tax is going here. Maybe I tried the first one that comes up, you know, it's always specific Wikipedia, and that didn't have any answer for me. So okay, well, yeah, here's the official one is incredibly complex. It looks like it says the first $2.5 million of the proceeds shall be held in reserve for purposes described in another section. Another $2.5 million is held for stuff that it says with accrued interest shall be distributed to the Industrial Growth Fund. 75% collected for each contract year shall be used to fund benefits to player, as proved in the Major League Baseball Benefit Plan Agreement. So And then the remaining 25% looks like it goes into another kind of growth fund. Basically, it looks like one of the growth funds is to grow the game in the inner city. But it doesn't have what the second one is for. So, yeah, it looks like the majority of it goes to player benefits, and then some of it goes to trying to grow the game in the inner city. So,
I
guess it's not too bad. Yeah. So, yeah, it was, you know, you always expect it to kind of, you know, God only knows where some of it's going to go. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see how, you know, hopefully it works. I know I heard something about they were building a field in a city or something like that. So
I don't know, but I mean, if you're truly interested and you want to read the article or the CBA on it, it's page 142 under section E, funding, subsection 1.
Yeah, and there's a whole lot of sub paragraphs and all kinds of other stuff that goes into it to get the full deal there. So, but interestingly, Dan, you brought up the collective bargaining agreement. And it looks like Major League Baseball is going to have to make an adjustment game start times, not for 2017, but for 2018. For teams that, let's see here, it goes into effect when either team faces a flight longer than 2.5 hours after the game.
Wait, say that again?
They may have to start games earlier. Because anytime either team has a trip longer than, or a flight, I should say, longer than 2.5 hours under the new collective bargaining agreement here. So let's see if it goes into a little more. You know, the usual, which they set up to reduce wear and tear, sleep deprivation, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, and, you know, we've heard it a million times where, you know, a team has a night game and, you know, they may get in someplace at, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and all of a sudden their next game is, you know, at noon. So they're looking to avoid that. The example they used, interestingly enough, to get the kind of the way it's done, it says, on June 9th this past season, the Los Angeles Angels, they left out the of Anaheim part, played a night game in New York that started about 7 p.m. Eastern time. They played a night game at home the next day. Under the new rule, under their new getaway day in New York, that game would not be allowed to start any later than 4:37. Because obviously they have to travel cross country.
Well, I mean, that's pretty fair.
Yeah, they say the agreement does allow certain exceptions involving holidays and trips to Wrigley Field, where local laws provide less flexibility in scheduling later start times. So, good old Wrigley. Or Chicago, you know. They just didn't pay the right person, I guess.
They can have a Sox game anytime. No one cares.
It's just a Cubs game. Yep. Yeah, it's just the Cubs games you have to worry about. So,
you know, it's the people who get mad because they have that in their neighborhood, yet their neighborhood wouldn't be what it is if it weren't for the Cubs.
Yeah, if the stadium wasn't there. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting how that all kind of ends up working out. You know, it's like, well, you know, we hate this, and, you know, driving down here stinks and all this other stuff is bad. And then it's kind of like, well, you know, if they weren't here, you know, it would be, nobody would be here. You wouldn't have to worry about any of that. And it probably wouldn't be this kind of neighborhood. So good luck. So now, you know, Dan, they have this as a baseball-related story, but I'm trying to figure out how it fits in. They listed the headline to it is MLB's BAM, it's B-A-M in caps, Tech, inks $300 million exclusive deal with Riot Games. This makes a little more sense. Major League Baseball's video streaming and technology service company, BAM Tech, is set to pay a minimum of $300 million to Riot Games through 2023 for the streaming rights to its eSport. What the hell did I miss here, Dan? Besides the fact that Riot Games ignored like all 10 of the emails I sent them when we wanted to have somebody on.
Wait, I don't. What are they supposed to be doing?
It's an e-sport, so they're going to stream the e-sporting event
on the MLB.
It says BAM Tech will have the exclusive rights to stream and monetize League of Legends competitions. I'm still not quite sure what the hell League of Legends is, Dan. It's some kind of online game. I believe it's teams of something or other, and that's why I wanted to try to get somebody on. But like I said, I literally sent them 10 emails. We didn't get one reply. That's a sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now I assume with this contract, they're just way too big to even bother to talk to us. But yeah, I'm just kind of baffled on, why they paid so much, and B, who's watching this, Dan? I mean, have you seen more than 30 seconds of a League of Legends competition or any? There's another esport one that I believe TBS is airing right now. Have you watched any of these?
No, but I mean, if you want to dig a little deeper as to figuring out why, is this the one that's aired on the mothership?
Believe so.
Okay. You would like to know that Disney, the parent company, of course, of ESPN, has a 33% interest in BAM Tech.
Oh, okay. So that explains it then. Yeah, you know, just kind of looking at it here, the definition of esports, Dan, is it's a form of competition that is facilitated by electronic systems, particularly video games, the input of the players and teams, as well as the output of the esports system, are mediated by human-computer interfaces. Most commonly, esports take the form of organized multiple-player video game competitions, particularly between professional players. The most common video game genre associated with esports are real-time strategy, fighting, first-person shooter, and multiple-player online battle arena. Tournaments such as the International, the League of Legends World Championship, the Battle.net World Championship Series, the Evolution Championship Series, the Intel Extreme Masters, and the Smite World Championship provide live broadcasts of the competition and prize money and salaries to the competitors. Wow, Dan, what the hell is this world turning into, man? This is going to be people's careers?
It already is.
So some of the games here that they include, it's DOTA. I don't know what that stands for too. So I'm a little lost there. and then League of Legends, the first person shooter. Yeah, possibly, League of Legends and the first person shooter game, Counter-Strike, global offensive. Then the other games here, let's see. Smite has StarCraft II, Call of Duty, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstorm, and Overwatch. Dan, I can tell you I've never played any of those games. I do know what Call of Duty is, and I've seen commercials for Counter-Strike. But I couldn't tell you about any of the other games there. So
I've heard of Overwatch, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, apparently this is something maybe we're going to have to learn about as sports evolve. I guess this is the way to play sports without getting injured, right?
Or go to war without getting really going to war.
Yeah, you know, the $300 million figure is what caught my eye. But yeah, just kind of looking at this, it's like, you know, this is everybody's dream. You sit on the couch with a controller in your hand, and, you know, I mean, I once had a roommate who tried to make money playing World of Warcraft, but, you know, he realized, you know, he would have to stay up 24 hours a day, and he would only make like $4 an hour. So it wasn't worth it. I'm guessing there's a significantly more money involved in these games.
Yeah, you know, according to my nephew and one of them, you know, one guy, the team will win $1 million. They'll just nerd it up and all live together.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I think you and I actually talked about that a little bit when it came up. And that's when I actually started reaching out to Riot Games. There was a bit of a scandal's too strong of a word for it, but they had something going on with a couple of their teams that they had to actually like discipline some guys or something like that. And I thought it would be a good time to reach out to them and, you know, see if they would come on and talk to us and, you know, all that other fun stuff. But yeah, they, like I said, they didn't want anything to do with me. So, you know, or us technically, but you know, I write from the, again, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. So, just again, one of those odd, just one of these odd things. And like I said, when I saw it under the baseball headline, I was kind of like, wait, that, why is it baseball? But then, yeah, like you realized it's their streaming service that's jumping on board here. Apparently the other platforms, Dan, there's a couple other streaming platforms. YouTube, I know about. I'm as goofy as I am with technology, I do know what YouTube is. Dan, what is Twitch?
It's a guy I used to be friends with, and we called him that because he literally had a Twitch. So,
yeah, that's what I thought too. But apparently, it is some type of streaming service. Twitch.tv.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Like, you watch people do stuff. I don't know. I know there was a guy who I saw on there, you know, because I saw one of those things on Facebook where he was a Twitch guy who made money off of the site somehow. And he had a party and a bunch of girls were over and one of the girls flashed her butt. And it actually got him kicked off.
Oh.
So I think it's one of those things that where you actually go on there and record and upload you playing games and other people watch it for some reason. Like there was another one where some girl, you know, was on there and she forgot to turn it off and then masturbated afterwards and the whole thing was live. Whoop. And she got scanned too.
Yeah, I do remember I worked with a 20-something. He was just finishing up college, and he was a Call of Duty guy, and they used to put their stuff up on YouTube for, I guess, other players to see, just, you know, kills and stuff like that is how he described it. Now, you know, Dan, I've never watched an eSport. I'm thinking maybe I'll take a peek at one just to kind of see what it is. But I mean, I am really begging anybody out there who's listening, whether you're listening live or you pick it up on tunein.com, you know, email us sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Find me on Twitter. It's at Burketime, B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E. I'm old. Tell me what the interest level is here. You know, what should I be looking for? You know, what's a way to enjoy this, or why, you know, why do you enjoy watching it? I don't know if I would enjoy watching somebody play a video game. You know what I mean?
You know, I actually one night, you know, cause honestly, the only reason I knew about any of this was because you brought it up that one time. And I believe it was a Friday night after the NBA was done, but I tried watching a little bit of it. But I mean, it seemed to me it was more about the hosts. You had like these two hosts, and then you had a couple teams of kids sitting there at their tables or however they had it going on. I can't remember, playing their game on team. And if it wasn't bad enough watching, don't ask me why I watched this one night, doubles unisex indoor tennis for Comcast out in Philly. Between, you know, not professional tennis players, it was horrible. But for some reason, I sat there and watched it for like an hour, maybe because of the girls. But I mean, that was more enjoyable than watching a couple guys commentate over a bunch of people playing video games.
Yeah, I think that's my issue. And I mean, you know, they keep putting it on TV, so somebody must be watching it. And, you know, I would love to hear from, you know, anybody. I mean, if you're out there now, 646-478-3753, you know, give us a call. You know, I don't know too much about it. And again, you know, that was the other thing with the attempt to reach out to, you know, to Riot Games, you know, kind of teaching, you know, an old guy like me something about this. So I'm just really lost. You know, I know I'm stuttering and stammering because I feel kind of stupid. You know, because if I could have made $300 million, Dan, I might have been a little more interested in this craze sooner.
Yeah, well, you know, that's something I tell my wife. You know, sometimes I tell her, I'm like, sometimes I wish I was really into playing the game. But I mean, I'll be honest, when the Xbox 360 came out, and it was one of the first ones that, you know, you could play online with your friends. You know, you could play online with people. You know, I was in my mid-20s, I think, or I don't remember how old I was, but it was over 10 years ago, right? And, I mean, it was pretty cool because my cousin and I, you know, we didn't live near each other, and it was easy to, you know, text each other and set up a quote play date. And then, you know, you kind of got a group of five or six. I think that you could do teams of five on the Call of Duty. And, you know, it was me at my house, him at his house, and one of our other cousins across the country. And, you know, three of his friends scattered throughout the city of Chicago. And, you know, it was kind of fun to be able to connect that way. But, you know, and then I let my nephew get into it. And by the time he was 8 years old, he was crushing me. The fact that I didn't want to play these games anymore.
Yeah, I've just never, you know, been a like a first-person shooter type of guy. So I never really got into those games. You know, I mean, obviously I like the sports games and, you know, the things that went along with that. But
as much as I, you know, I've got the hockey game on my computer or my Xbox and have a few others. If I turned it on, I'd rather actually watch what's on, even if it's not the Hawks and not the Capitals. Even though Chris Letang got hurt, you know, that sucks.
Yeah, I, uh, I'm kind of the same way. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to watch this instead of, you know, play it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'll be honest, when they had the MLB 2Ks, I think if that was still around, it might be a different story. But that stopped in 2012. And I mean, the thing I liked about it was you can create a player, and it's different than all the other sports, because I would create a pitcher and you got to pitch, and you know, there's a little bit more that goes involved with pitching, you know, hitting the strike zone and doing all that good stuff. Where if you do a creative player in basketball, football, or hockey, you have to adhere to the whole team, you know? So, I don't know. Once they discontinued that game, I just kind of, I think that's when it really started to fall out for me. The only time I actually touched the Xbox is if my nephew comes over and forgets his PlayStation.
So yeah, I, you know, like I'm still trying to learn how to play, you know, Tiger Woods golf. So, you know, I'm still scuffling with that. I still can't putt. No matter how much I play the damn thing, I just still can't putt it. So. Maybe I'll one of these days I'll figure it out. But yeah, like I said, the dollar amount caught my eye, and I was like, wait a minute, like where are we going? Where are we going here?
so, I mean, it would be
so.
Nice.
And then we yeah. No, why isn't your nephew on one of these teams? That's what I want to know. So. But, you know, we did have a, you know, in one of those, yeah, not anymore. Not if he's making money playing video games, buddy. We had another one of those fantastic Thursday night football games, Dan. The Seattle Seahawks got a 24-3 win over the Los Angeles Rams. I guess my question is, did you start Russell Wilson this week? Is he on your playoff team?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't about to start RG3 over him.
So, yeah, so, well, you know, he did okay. He put up a solid number of points last night. I know the game as a whole was kind of a stinker fantasy-wise. Did you watch a lot of it?
I watched up until about halftime, and then I think I forgot to put it back on after halftime.
So, did you... Well, you know, I guess the best play, it seems like, that was in the game. Did you catch the fake punt, the Seahawks fake punt?
No, I caught the one last week when that was the Raiders when they got sacked.
Yeah.
Or no, that was the fake field goal.
Seahawks had a very successful fake punt. John Ryan is their punter's name. He rumbled for... I don't know, probably a good 30 or 40 yards before anybody got close to him. As soon as he realized that people were getting close to him, he bobbled the football. It actually popped up out of his hands. Then he got blasted and knocked out and fumbled. You know, he is okay. His wife tweeted out a whole bunch of pictures from the hospital saying, you know, he was okay and all that stuff. But, kind of an interesting, dilemma, so to speak, with the whole thing. But, yeah, other than that, it was just a real, you know, another real stinker of a Thursday night game. But as to be expected when you get the Rams, this is what you're going to get. Not one of the better teams in the NFL. And, you know, of course, that's why they, you know, fired their coach and, you know, all the other stuff that went along with that. So we'll see how that goes for them.
What's the difference to firing the coach in the middle of the season? You're still going to have to pay him, and the team still sucks.
Yeah, what a lot of teams like, and I don't know how much of an advantage this is, but it gives them a head start on looking at new candidates. You know, if you want a college guy, or if there's an assistant coach you're looking at from, you know, another team, that's what I've always kind of heard. I don't know how much of an advantage it is, you know, because a lot of times the hot assistants are the guys who are going to the Super Bowl, and you can't talk to those guys anyways until after the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but that's what they would tell you. And you know how it is. I'm sure somewhere down the line you've played for a team that just couldn't put up with the coach, or it was just bad in the locker room. You know, and sometimes the guy just has to go for the sanity of the team. So yeah, it was just time for Jeff Fisher to get started on the next segment of his life, be whatever that may be, if he will coach again, or he's been in the league a long time, so maybe he'll just, you know, retire. I think he might be involved on competition committee or something as well for the NFL. So, he might still have that going on. But yeah, just a bad game, and I'm a little worried. You know, the Saturday games start tomorrow, Dan. It's the Dolphins and the Jets, and I know the Dolphins have been playing better, but now they're without a quarterback. Matt Moore is making the start. You know, the Jets aren't exactly an offensive juggernaut to begin with. Are we going to get another clunker of a game?
Man, that's making me rethink my pick. I think I picked the Dolphins.
So, yeah, I have to let's see. I've got it right here. I don't know if you got it. I can tell you real quick. But, yeah, and obviously, you know, we did all get the game right last night. None of us went with the Rams. Even Mr. Fantasy sent me his pick in time. I think I got it about 7:15. So I was able to get that. Now, Mr. Fantasy and I have not made picks for tomorrow. You and Schomburg Stu did go with the Dolphins. I do believe I am going to go with the Jets while we're on the air here. I will actually put that in. So, and again, I'll probably get Mr. Fantasy's pick about 5 minutes before kickoff. So we'll just kind of have to wait for that. But yeah, as it is right now, unless you're going to go in and change it, you have the Dolphins.
I don't know. I'll have to look at it later. I might change it. Now, here's something interesting I heard this morning. I believe it was Joe Montana saying about, you know, like the issue with Jared Goff and not turning out the way they wanted to, and just kind of the new age quarterback. And the reason why they're not progressing as well into the NFL, and I guess one of his kids was, you know, played college football at I don't know the division, but a higher division school. And he said that a lot of the young quarterbacks now coming into the game don't know how to read a defense, and that the coaches have, like, essentially cue cards on the sidelines that kind of tell them, you know, they flash this card, it means this, and they flash that card, it means that. But they're not read a defense on their own anymore. And he feels that.
I believe his son went to Notre Dame. I believe his son went to Notre Dame. I think he did. I think he did transfer. Joe Montana went to Notre Dame as well. The college game is up tempo, fast paced. You don't have time to do it. You know, nobody takes snaps from under center anymore. You know, you just, it's go, go, go. Who can score the most points? I mean, at least, you know, there's at least three or four teams in college football a week now that score over 60 points in a game.
Yeah.
So, you know, the college game has really become something you wouldn't expect. So it's
working, and, you know, this has nothing to do with sex, obviously, but having worked with women for almost 20 years, one of the things I'd hear from a lot of them on why they preferred the college sport over the professional was because the kids weren't playing for money. Now,
well,
to a point, I understand. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, to a point, I understand that because obviously they're not on a contract. But with the pressure that the institutions or the programs are getting because of the televisation of all these games and their television contracts, I mean, do you think that's why the college game is more the coach's game than it is the player's game when it comes to football?
Yeah. Well, you know, with college, you know, it's one of those things where eventually that player is going to leave. You know, there's no, you know, there obviously the longest somebody's going to be there is 4 years. You can possibly see him a fifth year if he gets injured and he gets, you know, an eligibility waiver. But, you know, they're only going to play 4 seasons. That's the most you're going to get out of a guy. And then, you know, they move on. So it kind of, to build a program, you know, I mean, think about it, you know, where you were, Dan. Think about having to replace your staff every 4 years. You know, just kind of trying to roll that over. So, you know, you need that coach, you need that presence, you know, the Nick Sabans, the Urban Meyers, the Jim Harbaughs. You know, these are the guys these teams are built around. Obviously, they're all winners. You know, that's how it kind of works out. You know, some of them turn them into NFL jobs. You know, Chip Kelly was groundbreaking at Oregon. You know, he had that just this unbelievable offense, and he was the guy who really kind of revolutionized college football. Not so much in the NFL when he tried it, but college football. You know, Brian Kelly had a lot of success at some places he was. He ended up getting a job at Notre Dame. Hasn't worked out as well there. You know, you could go down the list. You know, the University of Texas has been looking for a head coach now for, you know, I think they're on their third guy trying to get it right after getting rid of Mack Brown. So it's difficult, you know, to, like, a program will pop up and win, you know, 8, 9, 10 games 1 year, but then all their players are gone. And if you don't have that coach who can go sit in a kid's living room and say, this is why you come here, you can't repeat it. You know, you can't just continue to replace those guys. So it's a totally different animal. And I don't know how those guys do it. I don't know if I could just continue to recruit, you know, kid after kid like that. It's just weird.
Well, you're a salesman, essentially, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you're selling your school and yourself. And, you know, obviously, you know, if, you know, a Nick Saban sits down in your living room and he's flashing you all these championship rings, or, you know, an Urban Meyer does that, you know, you're interested in going there. So, you know, that's obviously a lot of kids' first choice. And, you know, if you're a quarterback, you're looking for that up-tempo team that's going to, you know, throw you the football, give you the chance to showcase your talent so you can go, you know, to the next level. You know, so it's just one of those things. But, yeah, you know, like you were saying, like even Montana was saying, kids aren't required to do the kind of things he had to do. And that's part of the reason Jared Goff's process is taking so long. He looked a little better last night until he got knocked out. You know, his decision-making is getting better. You know, if the Rams get him the right coach and the right quarterback coach who could help him develop, you know, I think he'll be okay. I don't think he's going to be, you know, the league MVP 1 year, and that's really when you give up what they give up for him, and, you know, the number one pick, you'd kind of hope you would groom into that. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think he'll be a very good quarterback for a long time as long as he stays healthy. You know, it's just these guys are going to take longer, I think. You know, you can even look at, like, Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott. I mean, they came on the scene, they made big splashes, but as of late, they both kind of stunk. So, you know, the league is kind of catching up to them. So, you know, it's the learning curve, like, you know, like anything else, you know, anything else that goes with it. You know, we talk about it in baseball all the time. You know, the rookie comes up and he hits big, and then the league figures out, oh, he can't hit this. And then, you know, for the next month or so, he can't get on base. You know, this is a lot the same way. You know, teams have realized that Dak Prescott struggles when you send extra guys and you put extra pressure on him. So now everybody's going to blitz him right and left until he figures it out. You know, so that's just kind of what, you know, what they'll do to him. And Carson Wentz has just kind of hit the rookie wall. You know, he played at a Division I AA school. So while there is talent there, it's, you know, little bit below what he's seeing now, obviously. And it's just kind of caught up to him.
No,
you know, but at least, you know, they don't have to listen to Tony Romo coming in.
Yeah. I mean, would you say that can kind of attest to why RG3 and, you know, Johnny Football kind of worked out the way they did?
Yeah, well, you know, RG3, I really think most of his problem was just injury related. You know, it seemed like he literally got hurt getting out of bed in the morning. You know, it was just that, you know, that's how it went. It was just so weird. And, you know, because like that rookie year when he was healthy, he was very good, and he looked like, you know, he was going to be a good quarterback for a long time. You know, and then he hurt the knee, and that was it. You know, he tried to play through it. He tried to do the tough guy thing, made it worse, and then just never, you know, he's never been able to put together a string of games. I mean, what was it this year? He got hurt in week one?
Yeah.
You know, and he was, you know, he was out 10, 11, 12 weeks or whatever. You know, I would be hard pressed to figure out if he's played 4 or 5 games in a row since his rookie year. And, you know, you just can't get anything going there. You know, Manziel, you know, he's a weird story because when he played, he had some success. He made, you know, rookie mistakes like rookies are going to make. You know, he made bad passes or tried to do stuff he did in college that just doesn't work in the pros. But there was something there. I just think he's that guy who just can't give up the party lifestyle. You know, I think we all have that friend who still thinks you're in, you know, be it high school or college or whenever your party days were. And, you know, they're still going out every weekend, even though, you know, in my case, these guys are, you know, in their late 40s, early 50s. You know, and they think, oh, yeah, you know, it's Friday. We're going here. We're going there. Where's the party at, kind of thing. You know, obviously that was Johnny. You know, Johnny's a party guy, and that doesn't work in a league that, you know, sometimes the initials stand for no fun league. You know, you're going to get in the doghouse real quick, and it caught up with him. And, you know, sadly, it looks like he's probably going to lose his career because of it.
Yeah. Unless your coach is Mark Trump.
But yeah, there is something there. I mean, the guy does have talent. It's just fine, you know. In a sense, he's a, I guess, almost an outgoing version of Jay Cutler. You know, I mean, they've got talent. It's just in Manziel's case, you got to find the guy who can rein him in and, you know, get him to practices, get him to meetings, get him to the things that are going to make him a good quarterback. And I just don't know if that guy's out there. So it, you know, it's just one of those things. I was goofing around on the NASCAR site, just kind of checking things out. And, you know, they don't start till February and stuff, but it appears that Richard Petty Motorsports is going to go down to one car for next season. They did have two cars. So, you know, they're going down to one car. I know there's been a lot of changes with drivers, teams, and movement. I mean, you know, as it gets closer, I'm sure we'll talk about that a little more. You know, Clint Bowyer's going to his new team and all that stuff that I know you'll be happy about. Hopefully he'll be a better racer next year because he really struggled last year. But yeah, that was just kind of the thing that popped up there when I hit the NASCAR stuff was Richard Petty Motorsports is downsizing. That's too bad. I wish the King could have more of a presence in NASCAR. You know, he's one of the all-time greats, but it's a money sport, and if you just don't have the money, you just can't do it. So.
Well, I was gonna say, do you think part of it has to do with you can't really have your own team without having huge backing, huge sponsors?
Yeah, that's the tough part with the sport. You don't see many or a lot of these one car teams be successful. Like somebody might point out to you that Martin Truex is the exception. And, he had great success last year, but he was really associated with Joe Gibbs Racing. Mm-hmm. The car may have had a different owner, but he was getting his, all his help and stuff from Joe Gibbs Racing. So, and like the team Truex is on, they actually added a second car because Joe Gibbs has a driver in the Busch series that they want to bring up, and they don't have room for him on their team, on their cars. So they're actually helping this team get a second car together, so their driver will have someplace to go. So, in reality, Joe Gibbs Racing will literally have six cars next year, just two of them are running under different ownership.
Does that have anything to do with the point system?
No, NASCAR put a rule in years ago that you could not have more than four cars per team because they wanted to grow the sport. It was getting to the point where teams were just having too many cars. They wanted to grow the sport and give, the little guy the chance because, NASCAR, of all the sports, NASCAR was really founded by the little guys, I guess you would say. They were... moonshiners basically racing each other. So,
yeah.
just one of those things. And, that's kind of the feel NASCAR wants for its sport. They want it to seem like everybody can do it. The guys sitting in their garage tinkering with their cars and, all that stuff. And this tries to give it that feel. But, yeah, when you get down to the bare bones of the league and stuff, it's just nothing like that. Nothing like that at all.
Well, no, it was, when Clint Boyer was on the Duck Dynasty and, Willie flat out asked him, how much is a sponsorship to get on your hood? He goes, $500,000. He goes, oh, well, that's not bad. He goes,
yeah.
No, that's $500,000 a race. He goes, oh.
Yep.
Now that's different.
Yeah, it's definitely a money-driven sport. But, I mean, we've all paid for car repairs. We know why, So, but all right here, Dan, let's get into some picks here. You had a bit of a rough night last night. Both the Predators and the Bulls lost for you, but the Warriors did beat your Knicks. So you did land that one right. We're gonna roll with let's go with three NBA games tonight, and then we'll give you two hockey games. But we're gonna do one of the hockey games tomorrow because the Blackhawks are playing. So we'll run through the NBA schedule here real quick. We got the Detroit Pistons at the Washington Wizards, the Brooklyn Nets at the Orlando Magic, the Charlotte Hornets at the Boston Celtics, the Atlanta Hawks at the Toronto Raptors, the Milwaukee Bucks at the Chicago Bulls, the Sacramento Kings at the Memphis Grizzlies, the New Orleans Hornets at the Houston Rockets. The first game on the Mickey Mouse Network has the Los Angeles Lakers at the Philadelphia 76ers. We got the LA Clippers at the Miami Heat, and the night wraps up on the Mickey Mouse Network with the Dallas Mavericks at the Utah Jazz. Dan, let's try to redeem yourself. It's a home and home. Last night the Bucks just ran away from the Bulls in Milwaukee. They're coming back to Chicago to do it again. You got the Bulls rebounding, basketball term there, or do you got the Bucks picking up another win?
They have to rebound at home. Let's go Bulls.
All right. And, you know, there are a lot of
so you know
fun
they're gonna
games here, but I think we'll go with this one. Just I know we don't pick you. I know I don't. We don't give you these teams too much in picks, so we're gonna go with the Charlotte Hornets at the Boston Celtics. I know you're a big Marcus Smart guy. Does that mean you're going with the Celtics, or you like MJ's Hornets to get a win here?
Yeah, maybe if it was in Charlotte, but I'm going with the Celtics.
All right, like you're liking the home teams tonight. All right, let's find our NHL schedule and see what we can come up with for tonight. Oh, let's see. We have the New York Islanders at the Buffalo Sabres, the Los Angeles Kings at the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's an NBC Sports Network game. The San Jose Sharks at the Montreal Canadiens, the Washington Capitals at the Carolina Panthers, the Florida Panthers at the Colorado Avalanche, the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Calgary Flames, and the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Vancouver Canucks. Dan, I think you know where we're going. Washington on the road, they're in Carolina. You like Ovi and the Caps on the road, or you got Carolina? I think I call them Panthers. The Panthers might have had a better chance. They're actually the Hurricane. I wore the T-shirt today to work. I should know that. You got the Hurricane getting a big win tonight at home?
No. Washington all the way.
Yeah, I was trying to build it up for you there, but I didn't think you were going any other way. I was just trying to trick you. And then let's see. Tomorrow night we have...
Do you have a Hurricane shirt or a Panther shirt?
I have a Hurricane shirt. I don't have a Panther shirt. I have a Hurricane shirt. Tomorrow night we have the Chicago Blackhawks, who interestingly have the highest point total in the NHL right now. They are on the road in St. Louis. And if I understand this correctly, St. Louis, if they don't have the best, I think they do have the best. They are 13-1-3 at home. So it's the team with the most points against the team with the best home record, Dan. The Blackhawks have won 3 in a row. St. Louis just broke a losing streak. They won 1 in a row. The Blackhawks are 6-2-2 in their last 10. The Blues are 6-3-1. These teams can't be any more even, Dan. This is a tough pick. Who are you going with?
The Hawks.
Oh, okay. I thought for sure I thought you were going to go with St. Louis there. All right. So we'll lock all that stuff in for Dan, and hopefully his luck will turn around. You've been scuffling a bit lately, so you need a good weekend here. Are you having a solid fantasy week? I actually believe I'm tied in both my matchups, if you can believe that, going into the weekend.
I'm trying to pull it up.
Uh-oh, will he make it? Dun-dun, dun-dun. Dan's trying to get there. I don't know if he'll have time.
Yeah! I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, okay, so Dan's doing pretty good. There you go. All right, the music means Dan is taking off for the weekend. I will be at back Sunday at 10 a.m. with Mr. Fantasy for 2 whopping hours of football talk. You know the deal while we're away, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out all the stuff there. New blog goes up tomorrow. Look out for that. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump out and follow the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Now, you know you can get Dan fixed there. They also come through at Dan C. Man. Remember, there's 3 E's in that. In the NBA tonight, he's going with the Bulls. And what was that other pick, Dan? Oh, yeah, the Celtics to get wins. No surprise in the NHL, he's going with the Capitals to get a win tonight. So get on that Twitter feed, let Dan quiz to listen. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.